we're in the flu season a little bit now, and so maybe we'll take our cue next year from this first reading about the approach to leprosy, that we'll just have a back corner in the church, says unclean, anybody who's sick can go stand there and we'll yell unclean at them until the end of the service. So obviously there's something about that that falls a little short of our goal here as Christians, but that we can look into that. You know, it seems difficult or seems harsh to us now, to understand why that teaching is there and kind of the wisdom that's there, but also the difference that we have now. That the wisdom of this approach of Leviticus towards sickness is really the terrifying nature of disease in the ancient world. That we think about what it would be like not to know about how germs are transferred, to just know that this person is terribly ill, there's no way we can cure them, and that there's some way that this can be passed on, you know, to somebody without really knowing how. That this sense of setting someone aside, of having them actually be officially examined and checked to verify it, help to avoid just panic and hysteria, and then having this also likewise checked to be readmitted was a chance to secure and protect the community. But surely there was a desire, or at least we certainly understand the desire, to go more than just this justice in regards to the situation or this kind of practical defense, but to look at a real healing, a desire for something that actually can heal this wound, not just setting it off to the side, not just kind of putting those that are sick in quarantine, but actually being able to heal them and reintegrate. This is what Jesus actually does in the gospel. That this, I think, is for us that difference that I mentioned. That the reason that we don't seek to follow this is that we have a power now to cure disease, to heal disease. That Christ, likewise, spiritually speaking, we have a remedy that didn't exist in the past. We have an access and a connection to grace that we can invite into wounds. So that spiritually speaking, as we think about Lent that begins this week with Ash Wednesday, we want, I think, to take that approach of Lent of seeking a healing and not just a setting aside. What I mean by that is often we might have a Lenten goal. We probably all have experienced this. We make a goal, we set something aside for Lent, but there's no real healing that takes place. And so when Lent is done, it just comes right back. It is kind of temporarily quarantined. That the alternative is to seek to approach Lent by really looking at some of those causes, some of those places that need healing, growth, strength, and seeking then so that when we come out of Lent, there can be something different, something renewed. We want to be aware of those weaknesses, that self-knowledge is a good thing because it gives us then a real foundation for growth. Confession, one of the classic things for Lent, one of the sacraments that is most specially connected with Lent, is such a powerful thing because if we enter into it with a true, honest, contrite heart, we can come into that contact with that real, true knowledge. We can invite God's healing into that in a powerful way. Unfortunately, so many stay away from this sacrament. They fear that in fact is a life-giving, liberating thing, that we have that sense that so many have that there's something scary or not important or unnecessary about that, when in fact it's a sacrament that speaks to that real need. But let's think as we enter into this week and take some time to really pray, to make a goal that can really be transformative, not just a quarantine for the 40 days, but something that we might tackle, you know, something that we might work on that might involve setting something aside, but setting it aside with the goal of growing in freedom so that at the end of Lent, this experience of a real healing, of new life.